Over in the book of Revelation in chapter 3, when the Lord Jesus was sending a message to one of the churches there, it was a church called Laodicea, he had some things to say to them which probably came as quite a surprise to them. Laodicea was situated quite close to a place called Hierapolis, where there were hot springs. And on the other hand, it wasn't very far from Colossae, which was noted for its cold, fresh vein of water that they had there. So when he wrote on to that church at Laodicea, he said to them that he worked that they were cold or hot. And using those words, they would identify right away, well, we know all about the hotness from the hot springs at Hierapolis, and we know all about the coldness with the water from Colossae too. And he sought to apply what he said to them by saying, I worked, or I would, or I wished that you were cold or hot. And he was really saying to them, you're just lukewarm. And in his message to that church, I'm not going to go into it this morning, but one of the words that he used to describe them, he said to them, thou art wretched. This is a church. He said, thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. But the word wretched there means to be oppressed with a burden. And here was this church at Laodicea who thought they didn't need anything. And the Lord says it'd be far better for you to be cold and to be lukewarm, because if you're cold, then you make it recognize the coldness and seek to put things right. But you're not. You're lukewarm. And he uses metaphorical language in talking about spewing them out of his mouth to show him, to show them and us how he views lukewarmness. And the reason I've given you those just scanty details regarding the church at Laodicea is this. That as you read through the Chronicles here, or the Kings, you read about individuals who come to the throne and some of them were bad. The Bible makes that plain. Some of them were extremely good. And others were good. We've read about one of them this morning. But not wholehearted. And it says there in verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That was good, but not with a perfect heart. And as I have read the following verses and considered him, he is like several others, as I said, in Kings and in the Chronicles, the books of Chronicles, who sought to do quite a lot of good. But in many ways, he was lukewarm. He was lukewarm. And I know it is so much better for me or for any person to be involved in God's work or to be coming to any meetings at all. It's so much better than nothing at all. But as I thought of this passage and I thought then of Laodicea, where the Lord really, in a very pointed way, addresses them, and he even says to them in verse 20 of Revelation 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. The word sup there is the word from which we get the word supper, which was then apparently the main meal of the day. And for some of us it still is, and we get away with it. But what he's really saying here to the church was this. You're not listening. I'm outside the door and I want to have fellowship with you, and you're not going to enjoy the very best fellowship while you're lukewarm. That's what he's saying to the church here at Laodicea. And Amaziah here that we've noted, and I will be referring perhaps several times to Laodicea through the message. Amaziah was, in many respects, you could say that he had military ambition, and that was the case with many of them in those days, and he began to marshal the people that he had for war. We have read about that already. But we know that while you read there about those that were able to go forth to war in verse 5, it may sound impressive. It's only a fraction of the number that just 50 or 60 years before, in the time of Jehoshaphat, would have been there. There'd been maybe four times as many able to go forth to war. So he immediately, in my opinion, in his mind, thinks, well, what am I going to do now? And he does do something, but in what he does, he shows his half-heartedness, in my opinion, or his lukewarmness as far as trusting in the Lord and leaning on him and seeking to do the Lord's will is concerned. Ambition got in the road a bit. Ambition got in the road a little bit. And I want to look with you, as I look at him this morning, at the battle with lukewarmness. The battle with lukewarmness. The Lord spoke to those churches in Revelation in love, all of them. But he used plain speech. And if there was something to be commended, then he commended them. And if something needed pointed out in a very strong way, he did that as well. And that's exactly what he has done when he was writing to the church there at Laodicea. And when you look at Laodicea, they had taken their eyes, in many ways, they had taken their eyes off the Lord. It says there in verse 17 of Revelation 3, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not. And then he has the other things to say to them. When I look at them there, and when I look at Amaziah, the first thing I want you to see is this, that through lukewarmness, confidence is destroyed. Confidence is destroyed. I'm going to be at Amaziah now, and here we have him. He's got 300,000 men. Those who have gone before him have sometimes been in a great minority, and yet they have learned to lean upon the Lord. They have embraced the fact that God very often uses a minority. And this man shows that his confidence in God has been destroyed, because he goes there and he hires Israel, who were out of favor at that time. He hires them for 100,000 talents of silver. We've read the verses there together. He strikes a deal with them for 100,000 talents of silver in verse 6. These men could fight, they're men of valor. You may say, well, they were certainly a great asset to Judah, and they might make up for the deficiency in numbers. See, as he looks back, he remembers that in Jehoshaphat's time, well, there was three or four times as many. That was so much better. But then when he looks back, where's his confidence in what God did in the past with smaller numbers? His confidence has been destroyed because he's looking at the situation and he's not really factoring the Lord in the way he should be. He's not really factoring the Lord in the way he should be. His move to hire the children of Israel at that time was a foolish one. Now, we know that some of them were involved in things that could affect Israel in a wrong way. Some of them at that time were idolaters and would not have been good for Judah. And we want to always bear that in mind, brethren and sisters. Lukewarmness is something which can creep up on you. And you can get to the point where you feel as an individual that you're comfortable, and that a wee bit like the church at Laodicea, you have need of nothing and all is good. But remember that several times in that address to the church at Laodicea, the Lord was reminding them how they couldn't see it. Thou knowest not. They couldn't see it. And he said, I worked that you were cold or hot. If you were hot, everybody would know it. But if you were cold, you would know it. And then you might do something about it. But now you're lukewarm. And it's a very subtle situation, a very dangerous situation to be in. And Amaziah here, he is just falling into the same trap. He's really just looking, he's looking for numbers in his army. And he's not really factoring the Lord in the way he should have done. And for you and I today, we want to make sure that we keep our confidence in the Lord high. Remember what he did for us in the past as individuals. Remember when we go way back beyond that, what he did for our forefathers. Remember that others have labored and we've entered into those labors. Remember all the times in history when God has stepped in and intervened and blessed his people. And yes, sometimes when it seemed that the gospel light was burning low, the Lord came along. You know all about Israel when they came out across the Red Sea and they sang the song of Moses. There was scarcely a more joyful time in their lives. Sang the song of Moses, and they sang it with such vigor and full hearts that it's even, they sing it in heaven. The song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. And it wasn't very long after that until they fell out of sorts. And lukewarmness can creep in. And in this day in 2019, I want to say this, that when lukewarmness creeps in, it will destroy your confidence. Because if you look at any of the churches that were addressed there that were in tune with the Lord, there was no problem there with lukewarmness. There may have been other difficulties, but there was no problem there with lukewarmness. And nearly all of that address to Laodicea is about how they need to look at it, and they need to see it, and they need to realize it. And I just want to mention that over the years in the United Kingdom, when confidence in the Lord and relying on him has been destroyed because the heart is not in tune with the Lord, and it all begins in praying. Remember to pray, folks. We're always asking you to pray. Remember to pray regarding every aspect of our lives and every aspect of God's work. And it begins there when there is a decline in praying. There can be a downgrade in gospel preaching. And we have what is a social gospel, which while that may be very acceptable to many people, it will not do them any good because it will not change their soul. It does not point out their need of Jesus Christ as their personal savior. It does not talk a lot about sin, but rather it just brings them in to a certain type of circle where you're really just following after the Lord. A very subtle and a very dangerous thing. But easy believism, and you have a degenerating into confusion and even into a dishonorable behavior and a departure altogether from that which is glorifying even to the Lord. Now, I've mentioned to you on other occasions, I've mentioned quite a number of times King Asa. And I'm not going to go into all the history that we looked at before about him. But King Asa stood out as a godly man. And he was in the minority when he went out against the Ethiopians. And he went out into the field to fight. And he said to the Lord, "We rest on thee. We rest on thee." And things went well for him. He continued to pray and he continued to seek the Lord. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, he was warned there by Azariah to stick close to the Lord. And if you do that, the Lord will continue to bless you. But if you don't expect the blessing. That's really it. And on down, as he became a reformer, and he did a great deal of good for the people that he represented and displayed a love for them and a care for the people. And he even was so thorough, you will see in verse 16 of 2 Chronicles, he dealt with situations at home. His mom was the queen. And it says that he cut down the idol that she worshipped. He took his position very, very seriously indeed, as he should have done, because he was a man in authority. He was a king. But just a few verses later, actually just towards the end of this chapter, you'll see that he brought the silver and gold and dedicated, his father had dedicated, he brought them into God's house. But chapter 16 is a very telling chapter concerning this man, isn't it? Because he is in a very similar situation to which Amaziah was. Remember, he is the man whose heart was on fire for the Lord. He said, "We rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude." He said, "Lord, it's nothing to thee, you to help with them that have no strength." He proved that. And now in chapter 16, he's panicking. He's panicking. Look what it says in verse 2. Then Ahazah brought out, he's just brought them in a wee while ago. Then Ahazah brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. He wants to form an alliance with him whom he shouldn't form an alliance with. And if you read down the rest of that chapter very carefully yourself, you will see here that Ahazah wanted to see success, and he was willing even to dishonor the Lord. What had happened? People around him hadn't changed. We know that there was a good man there, Hanani, the prophet of the seer, came to Ahazah and says to him in verse 7, he says, and said unto him, as that is unto King Ahazah, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. He could not only have won the battle that he was confronted with, but he could have had far more than he forfeited a double win because his heart was now lukewarm. And the last that we read here about King Ahazah was that when some of the people were unhappy with him, it says in verse 10, and Ahazah was wroth with the seer, the prophet, and put him in prison. Put him in prison for pointing out King Ahazah, listen, we want things to continue well, but here, listen, you don't go this road. And he took it very wrong. There's a time when he would, whenever, look at chapter 15, when he'd had that great win, Ahaziah came out to him and he said, "The Lord is with you." And he listened very carefully. Always good to listen to good advice. And he did it then with a very willing heart, and his heart was in tune with the Lord. But now he doesn't want to hear anything from anyone. It says there that he put him, that is Hanani, in the prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And he has oppressed some of the people the same time. You see here, brethren and sisters, what had really happened was that his heart had grown lukewarm. I want to be fair to him and say that probably he didn't mean that to happen. And neither do I. And neither do you. But it happens. It happens. The battle with lukewarmness, it must be confronted, because it will lead to you and I going in the way that Ahazah went, or going in the way that Amaziah went, or even going in the way that some in the church at Laodicea went. What I want to say is this, that lukewarmness, it always costs. It always costs. Good to have your reliance on the Lord. Yes, it's good to have good friends around you, those who will help you and encourage you and all of that. And there's a place for all of that. We know that. But there's a great warning over there. I'll just read it for you in Isaiah 31 and verse 1. It says, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, that stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord." Praying and praying through and wrestling in prayer for whatever part of the work you're involved in, it's never going to be an easy thing, but it's so necessary. I'm not stretching it to say that as a congregation, we have known a great deal of the Lord's blessing and answering prayers, but it's only as we seek Him. Only as we seek Him. And this lukewarmness, it has to be battled. We have to see it. Remember the ones in Laodicea, they couldn't see it. Maybe Amaziah couldn't see it. King Ahazah, who seemed to be a great example of wisdom and carefulness, he couldn't see it. He took Hananiah and threw him into prison. because he didn't want to hear the truth. Confidence is destroyed if this lukewarmness comes along. But I want you to notice something else. There is the care displayed. The care displayed. Amaziah's expedition is about to begin now. But he's approached by a prophet. And verse 7 says, but there came, this is in 2 Chronicles 25, but there came a man of God to him saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel. This prophet comes along and he said to him, I know you feel you have everything set up now, you have a greater number of people with you, and you've all ready to go, but just tell them to go home. Just tell them to go home and separate yourself from them. You've been looking for assistance in the wrong place. Now, on a human level, this would sound like foolishness, but this was not foolishness because it was the wrong people at that time who were not enjoying the blessing of God. And the care displayed here was this, that the Lord sent a man. The Lord sent a man. He sent the prophet over. There came a man of God in him saying, O king, let the army of Israel go not with thee. Let the army of Israel, let not the army of Israel go with thee. And I just want to say, if you look there, and if you don't want to turn to us, that's all right, I'll look it up. It's in Exodus chapter 34. This is a great warning to people who had known so much blessing from the Lord. His hand had been upon them for good. He provided for them all that they needed. And it says to them in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 12, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. So easy to go the wrong road. But isn't it good, brethren and sisters, that the Lord comes along to us and through his word, he constantly encourages us to keep looking to him, to keep relying upon him. If you look back again where we were on verse 8, it says, 2 Chronicles 25, but if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy. This is very plain speaking. And that's the way God talks to us, plainly. And the thing is, will it sink in? Well, it did sink in, as we'll notice in a minute. And I just want to address ourselves at the moment and say, well, I can't speak for any other man or woman or young person here, but we must look at our own heart and say, is my heart stirred and in tune with the Lord? Or if I'm really, really honest, am I just lukewarm, plodding along? Am I lukewarm, and is there a danger that my confidence in the Lord and relying on him could be destroyed or maybe has been affected? That will stop you from doing anything for God, by the way. Because if you're going to look in God's work through the eyes of human reason, you'll never do anything. Of course, God has given us brains to think, but we're to walk by faith, with to look to him and to lean upon him. We mentioned to you last week and some plans we might have for the church later on regarding possible youth after church rally and all of those things, and we're looking to the Lord for it and leaning on him that he will show the way ahead. And we need to be doing that in a private life as well. But this is the care that is displayed. A Christian grows lukewarm, the Lord doesn't just discard you. He's grieved, but he doesn't discard you. And he comes along here and he sends a prophet along to say to them here, listen, the Lord is able to help you. Amaziah's at a crossroads. Maybe sometimes, like me, you felt you're there too. And there you can go one way, but it seems costly. Or you can go the other way that maybe a lot of other people are happy to go. And that other way would be in a way that deep down in our hearts we know would not honor the Lord. You see, his confidence was destroyed. He wasn't resting in the Lord the way some of his forefathers had done. And yes, some of them, like Asa had done it, King Asa had done it, and then they turned away from doing it, and they rested on men. Didn't work. It may seem at the time to give some degree of success, but ultimately, and always, remember this, we're accountable to those who come after. And that is the biggest serious responsibility, the most serious responsibility of my life and your Christian life too, adult. Accountable to those who come after. Their confidence was destroyed. And it's good to get to that place where your confidence is in the Lord. We are in tune with Him. You're walking with Him. You know that you're resting in Him. You're committing your way to Him. You're looking to Him. And if you have lost out, His care is still displayed, because He still comes along today and He says to you through His word, don't go with them. Look to the Lord. If you're a young person, that may mean, don't go with the world's crowd. They're knocking your door constantly. Don't fall in with their mentality that everything's okay today. As long as you're happy and comfortable with what you do, it doesn't matter. Of course, it matters. Not only does it matter to the Lord, it matters to you, young person. And it will matter much in the days ahead. But we're glad that there is here the care displayed. But there is then the cost declared. Do you remember what we said about the cost? It says in verse 9, and Amaziah said to the man of God, he doesn't question what the prophet is saying. But he said, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which we've given to the army of Israel? In other words, what about this money that I hired them for? I've given them 100 tons of silver. What am I going to do about that? We're going to lose it if we let them go home. He seems now to be divided. On the one hand, after this prophet has spoken to him, he doesn't want to offend the Lord. But on the other hand, he doesn't want to lose such a large sum of money. This is where the Lord says to him there through the prophet, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. In other words, if you follow faithfully after the Lord and rest in Him, He is able to recompense you in a most remarkable way. He will come along, and that which you were committing here to a way that was not good, 100 tons of silver, He's given them that already. He's going to lose it now. If he decides to tell him to go home. And the prophet said to him, the Lord's able to give you much more than this. Now, at this time, and this is, I just wanted to get this point across to you. At this time, there's no promise of the restoration of the 100 talents. No promise at all. There's just a promise there, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. In other words, if you just decide to lean on the Lord and tell these people to go home, somehow or other, the Lord, somehow or other, in His wisdom, He will recompense you in a great way. That's all He has for it at this time. But if you look with me there, just a couple of pages over in chapter 27 and verse 5. This is Jotham's time. It says there, and this is Jotham. Again, it says in verse 5, he fought also with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. And the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver and 10,000 measures of wheat and 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him both the second and the third year. Is that not a fair recompense? Not only did he get the hundred talents of silver back, but he got 10,000 measures of wheat and 10,000 of barley. And he did it the second and the third year. The Lord honors them that honor Him. And this was on down the line just a little bit. And brethren, I'm not one bit selfish when it comes to, we love blessing in our own day and we want it. But we want it more for the young coming afterwards. I don't mind if when we're gone they get it. But I want it to come. I want it to come. And he's counting the cost now and he's thinking, well, what about this? And the prophet's plainly says to him, listen, you need to send them home and you need to forget about the 100,000 or the 100 pieces of silver, and you need to rely on the Lord. And the Lord, somewhere or other, sometime, will recompense you. And that's what he did. That's what he did. Because there is finally, and that's what
you and I need to do. Maybe you have given time and thought and some degree of allegiance even to the ways of the world. You think, well, that's where a big portion of my social life lies, with the ways of the world. And what if I turn my back on it all? Well, all I can say is, the Lord will make it up to you. He will make it up to you. If you have 25 really worldly friends and they're dragging you in their way, the Lord could give you two that would be so much more blessing to your life than they could ever be. But he will make it up to you, and he'll make it up to me. Lukewarmness, you see, we lose confidence in the Lord. And then when that happens, we inevitably start looking at things wrong. Do you remember that church at Laodicea? I don't want to speak respectfully about them because they were a Christian church. They were a mess. They're a mess. And the Lord said to them, I used the word wretched, which meant oppressed by a burden. And they didn't even know why. Lukewarm people are never truly happy. Sometimes we don't know why. But those who are in tune with the Lord, they have the joy of the Lord in their heart. One final thought here, it is this. There is the commitment demonstrated. As Amaziah listened to what the prophet has to say, he weighed it up in his mind and he was swayed in the right direction. And he lays hold upon God's promise, and he'd rather now lose the money and disoblige his allies and separate himself unto God. He'd rather do all of that than offend the Lord and ultimately bring the people into a situation where there would be trouble ahead. Look what it says in verse 10. Then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again. Therefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. Folks, you see, when you tell the world, even young people, you tell the world, I'm not going your way. I want you as a friend, but I'm not going your way. Very often, you will be met with some degree of hostility. Some degree of hostility. But there was here this commitment that was demonstrated, and there is no other way if we are to be in tune with the Lord and know his blessing. And Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went in the valley of Salt and smote the children of Seir 10,000. Things went well for him right away. Right away. Lukewarmness is an awful thing. That church at Laodicea, they knew what it was to be in a place where they could get roasted. At Hierapolis, the hot springs there. But they knew where it was to get water that was really, really, really cool and clear, and good in Colossae. And they knew very well what lukewarmness meant. It was going nowhere. And that was where they were. Remember again what the Lord said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. What an awful thing if the Lord was outside the door of the church here, outside the door of the house, and wasn't welcome in because my heart was lukewarm. Didn't think I needed anything. Not really happy because I know I'm lukewarm. Or my life is lukewarm. My devotions are lukewarm. How much better it is, brethren, to know the blessing that comes with following hard after him. We've run out of time today, and we've looked just briefly at Amaziah, and we've looked here at the battle with lukewarmness. It's a real thing. And you might face it in the coming week. Who knows? And so might I. The temptation just to be lukewarm and pull back. But the Lord has been good to us as individuals and as a congregation. And let's continue to look to him, to lean upon him, to keep doing what we do, the way we do it, and to keep praying to him and seeking the Lord that he will give blessing. And we know that whatever effort we put in many ways, the Lord is able to give us much more than that. And I trust that that will be your experience in your individual life as well.